This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in, one and all.
Excuse me.
Hold up.
Excuse me.
What was that?
An honest mistake.
What are you doing over there?
That's it. We're done.
It was an honest mistake. Getting distracted by emojis in the Slack channel. The music caught me too quick, and then it was just a welcome.
Well,
is the show ruined?
We are not welcome. That's what I learned today. Episode 1388. We're not welcome.
I think it's Mike's fault.
Yeah, that's me. That's on me, everybody.
Thursday, March 23rd.
To be fair, what I shared was hilarious, and
yes,
you will
was.
Never ever know what it was.
I just saw it. Good work, Mike.
I'm sorry, Foot Clan. Welcome into the show. Trending or ending on the show today, NFL news, including a trade that just went down as of this recording time, and some mailbag. The Deucers are here. Today we've got Al Borland, Judge Giamatti, and Papa Josh in the building.
The baldness
has increased.
Yes.
Shave your head, Jeremy.
Yeah, Ivy, for the good of the group.
Okay. Should the Deucers be unified with?
Oh my gosh,
with shaved heads?
That would be so good for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's part of the employment contract.
Right now, people walking around, they're going like, "What was that one show? What was that one show?" And they don't remember. But if you're all bald, it'd be like, "Oh, wasn't one show with the three cue balls? The cue ball producers.
There's the ballers, and then there's the balders."
Nice.
Think about it. Okay. All right. You're the last man standing.
No, Kyle's got some hair.
Yeah, and well, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
He's not here.
The mailbag on the show today. A couple reminders. You can find us on Twitter at the FF Ballers. I encourage you to check out our personal Twitter accounts, including Mr. Jason Moore's, at JasonFFL. He just threw up a very fun tweet.
Oh, the Bijan tweet?
Where he was ranking
was good.
All of the different locations that Bijan Robinson could go to, and in order of like kind of best case, worst case.
Yeah, it started as a personal selfish exercise where I just simply wanted to know, like, what teams do I want him to go to and not want him to go to? So I sorted all the teams, ranked them out first to last, and found out I really don't want him going to the Jets. That's for sure.
You found out?
Well, I mean, I knew.
Yeah,
that.
We could walk through it a little bit. I actually think we should.
Sure.
Because this is the Bijan Minute.
Bijan Minute.
All right. We don't have a drop yet, if you can't tell. Here's your best of the best. You said the Los Angeles Chargers and Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, because both of those situations, the only way they bring on Bijan is
more Mixon, no more Eckler.
Exactly right. And they're going to automatically go into a role where it is massive workload on awesome offenses. That's best of the best case scenario.
All right, so let's move on from best of the best, which I can – Mike, do you agree with those two? You see that as being premier spots?
Yeah, assuming that the starting running backs are on a different team, then yeah, I would agree with that.
Here's where it gets a little more interesting. I think I agree with two-thirds of this next one.
Okay.
Maybe all of it. Dallas, okay, year one, you're going to have Tony Pollard there, but you're looking long-term. I get it. Makes sense. Kansas City, the Chiefs, That's the one where I'm a little bit like, let's discuss it. And then the Falcons, where we know what they want to do. They want to run the football. Still need a quarterback if I want to be, if Bijan wants to be that, you know, top three guy. I think.
The best part of the Falcons, and they should probably be first in this tier, is that they're picking at number nine. So if they pull the trigger, the draft capital says, he's the dude, you're not worried about anything else. He, you know, when you get a running back drafted in the top 10, they're going to touch the ball, you know, more than anyone else on the team easily. And if they give Bijan the ball that much, he's going to do great work. When it comes to the Cowboys and the Chiefs, well, the Cowboys, we know they want to run the ball, right? That's what they've been talking about. They release Ezekiel Elliott, who got enough work even with Tony Pollard that Bijan would be fine. And Tony Pollard's on a one-year franchise deal. They would probably move on later. The Chiefs are simply this.
I've used that experiment before.
No, but it's very, very, very different. You're talking about when they brought on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they drafted him with the 32nd pick. Oh, he's first rounder, yada, yada.
Coming off a Super Bowl.
My pre-draft scouting on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he was my running back 6 in that draft class. I did not think he was that talented. And, you know, that has come to fruition. Bijan is actually an unmissable prospect. He might not be the you know, best running back of all time, but he's not great. He is great.
He can't miss.
Why say it that way?
Andy Reid,
you don't think
has a history.
He can be a miss?
Andy Reid, I don't think he can be a flat out miss. I think he could be a bust based on expectations, but I do not think Bijan.
I watched me some AP collegiate highlights.
The best of all time.
And they're the only thing that make Bijan's highlights look pretty bad.
When people talk about so-and-so is the best since AP, it's like, you can't go watch what AP did in college. It was humiliating to all other players on the field and absurd.
So Kansas City, but it would be the same pick.
Presuming
they don't trade up for it. It would be the same pick as...
That's right. And yeah, you've got Pacheco, who's fine as a 7th-round pick, and you've got...
Oh, he would be out.
Right. That's my point. It really would be out. Yeah. You have a history. When you've got great players, when Kareem Hunt in his rookie age was a part of the Chiefs, he was unbelievable. Jamal Charles, unbelievable. LeSean McCoy, unbelievable. When
Brian Westbrook.
When you've got a super talented running back, they're going to get the most out of it.
I guess you're right. If it happened... It's the it happening that's so such a long shot there. But if it happened, Kansas City and then Atlanta, your sneaky good destinations, again, more interesting here, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Chicago, Houston, Miami, and Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, these are offenses that I think either, like in the case of Houston Texans, will be entirely Bijan's team, or offenses that are good, like the Vikings, the Eagles, the Bills, the Dolphins, those teams will have so many scoring opportunities. And one of the things you have to realize is whatever team does pull the trigger on Bijan is doing it with a lot of capital. So they are going to invest. So, you know, the Dolphins just re-signed Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson.
They don't have a first.
Sure, they don't. I mean, I put all 32 teams in here. The likelihood of the Dolphins actually drafting Bijan,
it's basically
minuscule
nothing.
To nothing. Absolutely, I don't think that the world exists where that happens. But it's like you said with the Chiefs, if a team drafts him, that will after the fact be like, oh, well, they are super in on him. There's just no other way you get a hold of him.
I'm not going to read them all. Obviously, you can go check them out on Jason's Twitter at JasonFFL. I will read the 5 in your worst list.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets at the very bottom, because now this is because they have Breece Hall.
This is my Breece, baby. Don't touch my Breece.
And they wouldn't. That would make no sense. Seattle.
That's the scariest one, because that one.
That would be a Kenneth Walker. I mean, that is a that would be
a
bad
nightmare.
That'd be bad,
and that would be their second pick in the first round, around pick 20. It's like a perfect spot for him.
I have already discussed briefly the idea of live streaming. The first round, like we did the simulcast, right, with the horrific Colts game, and I have not run this by you guys at all. I know we do the reflection of the first round live stream the next day.
Right.
There's some. I'm not opposed to sitting here and watching Jason react to every Bijan or non-Bijan pick.
I can be talked into it, but the only time we're on camera is when the pick is in and Goodell's walking up and he reads the pick. The other time will be filled with the Deucers, like, juggling.
Okay, you're right. There's a lot of time.
Circus acts of some kind.
Yeah,
Jeremy shaving his head.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, that's when he shaves it. No, we'll at a minimum, we'll be videotaping. There'll at least be security camera footage of Jason's reaction. The other three bad ones, the Colts, obviously Jonathan Taylor, Pittsburgh, that's because you believe, the Najee Harris problem?
Yeah, so and the Niners with CMC. The most feedback I got that was negative on this is people refuse to believe in Najee. Like, Najee is nothing to them. Najee is very good.
No, I would put up a fight on that one, too, because it's the same argument. Like, if he goes to Pittsburgh, he's Pittsburgh's guy. There's no way that Najee hurts him.
Najee has over 700 opportunities in 2 years where he's been great with them. I can't imagine a world where it would become – that would be a timeshare. That would be those two are in a timeshare. Again, not going to happen.
And
I don't
see
the
49ers.
That's just Christian McCaffrey. Okay. I mean, that's right.
All right, we will move on. The Ultimate Draft Kit available for presale right now. If you get the UDK Plus, you get instant access to the Dynasty Pass. We just released a new content update post-combine. Do not miss your opportunity to check out the newest rookie rankings. Some of the trade targets from the hitman himself, and some more Dynasty stuff coming your way soon. It's the lowest possible price right now, ultimatedraftkit.com. Let's do this for a quick question.
Trending or ending?
All right, trending or ending? Aaron Jones, will he finish as a top 12 fantasy running back again? He's done it somehow. Four consecutive years.
This past year did not make sense.
I don't know if there's a player that feels less like they've done that than Aaron Jones, because he's the kind of player that gives you the four touchdown or three touchdown week with a big reception, or sometimes it's just not his week. And
or two total rushing touchdowns on the year.
Yeah, I mean, he had 1,100 yards, just 213 carries, 72 targets. But losing Aaron Rodgers, almost guaranteed losing Aaron Rodgers. I think the odds of him going to the Jets might not be 100%, but the odds of him leaving the Packers seem to be 100%.
It seems very high. I was talking to the guys earlier this morning of saying, I've now moved into, it's kind of a Jason Moore mentality of, let's watch something burn down for a little bit. Let's just watch some chaos of... Both the Jets dig in, the Packers dig in, training camp rolls around, and then Rodgers just shows up to camp.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, I'm
on the roster.
I'm here. What are we going to do about this?
Let's play ball.
Like, some people brought up that maybe we were too hard on Aaron Rodgers, or that like we need to blame the Packers because, look, they've done this before. They had a messy ending with Brett Favre. Now they're doing another messy ending with Aaron Rodgers. And I was thinking about that. And I think it's just the nature of every great quarterback's kind of sunset years. This is not exclusive to the Packers. Tom Brady divorced the Patriots, right? Joe Montana divorced the 49ers and went to the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, there is a time when the franchise and the player are both kind of, they've just had enough of each other. And,
sure.
And it just never seems to be, it's not elegant, right? Like, there's not an elegant departure of the face of your franchise, it seems like, if they want to play football again.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, but it's one that I think most franchises would want to eventually find themselves in.
Yeah.
Because it means you had a great quarterback now in the twilight and you got to worry about the future. But presuming he is gone, I cannot see Aaron Jones being a top 12 running back this next year. Most of his touchdowns the last 2 years have been in the passing game, 11 touchdowns receiving over the last 2 years, 72 targets this past season. We don't know exactly how Jordan Love's going to play, but I'm going to assume it's going to be less than the two-time in the last 3 years MVP quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Scoring opportunities will be slightly down. Passing volume is probably going to be down. And this is a team then that will be playing more for the future. Not, I mean, they're going to be playing to win now, but obviously they're planning – and their identity is going to have to be remade. And Aaron Jones is much more part of what they were than what they are going to be.
Do you want a low, or what is the there's not a lot of substance to this statistic, but I want to share it anyway.
Yeah, meaningless thing. Go ahead.
In the past 3 years, Aaron Jones only has 2 games played where he did not have a single reception. And one of those games was when Jordan Love played the entire game.
Okay, yeah, but you said meaningless.
I'm just saying, like, you can't extrapolate one game out. But
But the way that you said the end of the stat was with so much emphasis that it made it seem like it had a lot of meaning.
Honestly, if I
small sample size, one game.
If I look at games played with Luck, he's got Jordan Love.
Yeah.
He's got a season total pace of no receptions.
Yes.
Mike.
That's the point I was driving home.
Yeah.
Career stats would be zero with Love. I will say that I am with Jason in that I don't think he will finish there, but I do believe it's a possibility. Because I think that this offense, the pieces around Jordan Love, you know, can he move the offense down the field? Can it be a run-centric offense that protects Jordan Love? I think that that could happen. I think LaFleur is a good coach, and Aaron Jones is a good enough player to where you can build the entire offense around Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
like that can be your identity, and I would be trying to, you know, Alvin Kamara him. Like, use him as much as you can as your identity if you want to succeed this year.
Is this the year the Packers take a first-round wide receiver?
That would be one of the most entertaining things on the face of the planet.
It's just like how Seattle refused to draft offensive linemen, and then when they got rid of Russell, it's like, dude, we're going to build this through our line.
Would you like them to make the Rodgers trade before the pick or after the pick?
I want them to take a wide receiver and then trade Aaron Rodgers.
I want them to trade Aaron Rodgers and use the pick that they're getting back for a wide receiver.
Okay, all right, these are all good options. Mike, are you what is your answer here?
I lean with you, Andy, of he's so good that if he plays, you know, let's put him at 15 games. If he's at 15 games, he should be a top 12 guy.
He's just sitting there as this, like, obvious case for a reduced draft cost.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, will be interesting. Let's get into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
Welcome to the news. Damian Harris signed a 1-year deal.
I see what you did there.
With the Bills.
I don't like it.
For $1.7 million.
The Damian Harris signing, I like very much.
Listen to this. I sat down at my kitchen table a couple nights ago, and I almost tried to draw the, like, circle chart of rotation of these running backs getting 1-year deal. It's like James Robinson to the Patriots, and then Damian Harris is now going to the Bills, and then from the Bills, Devin Singletary goes to the Texans, and, like, they are just rotating these 1-year deals where they're barely getting paid any money. And look, do I think Damian Harris is any different than Devin Singletary? Nope.
Yeah, he's not. He's not much different.
Doesn't mean he doesn't have value. It just seems like the same thing.
He's a very solid running back. I think that Devin Singletary, solid running back. Harris, solid running back. The question is going to be, will Harris run ahead of James Cook or behind James Cook? Last year, if you look at rushing percentage, you had Devin Singletary with 41% of the rushing attempts and James Cook with 21%. Does that become more like 30% and 30% and they share the load and split it evenly? No matter what, I think this is a negative for James Cook. Some people disagree with that. They say this is a great signing for James Cook because they're not going to bring in someone over the top of Damian Harris. It's really a matter of what you believe about Damian Harris. I believe he's a very solid running back that will absolutely be getting a lot of carries. He's a bigger running back than James Cook, so
he's an injury prone running back.
That is fair. Obviously, you know, in any backfield that's shared, when an injury happens, the other running back provides a lot more fantasy value.
My view of it is simply that these are two guys that put on different superhero uniforms for the weekend. Like, it's just very different skill sets, very different capabilities, and I think they're, you know, which one's riding the bike and which one's in the sidecar, I'm not sure. I think it might be week to week. We were so frustrated with this, with the Bills over the years, right? Matt Breida had a breakout period with the Bills.
Yes, he did.
So
that was fun.
I don't view it personally as anything different than how I view James Cook with Devin Singletary. His potential for a breakout is still there. You know, Jason, you were not intimidated by James Robinson joining the Patriots.
Correct.
So that means you're obviously your belief is that Damian Harris is a step up from James Robinson.
As you see me.
But both players are not getting a lot of financial commitment, is my point.
Yep, that's fair.
Mecole Hardman, 1 year deal with the Jets.
And more importantly.
Much more importantly, Jets are trading Elijah Moore and a third round pick to the Browns for their second round pick.
Good for you, Elijah Moore.
This is the way that Elijah Moore has a chance.
Yes, this is the way.
I don't think it's a guarantee. Voldemort needs to get back to his previous ability as a quarterback.
And for Wizard.
For Elijah Moore to be relevant. But Elijah Moore was buried and dead on the Jets. The Jets have gone out, signed multiple wide receivers. They did not have Elijah Moore as part of the plan. So this is great news. A lot of fantasy managers, you know, drafted Elijah Moore in their dynasty leagues, and they don't know what to do with him. Well, now you've got hope, and
sure,
presumably he is the wide receiver too. It could be Donovan Peoples-Jones, but he will be the slot
David
wide receiver.
Bell, still there.
I believe he'll be the primary slot wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns.
Hope is the word. It's some hope. Ronald Jones, a 1 year deal with the Cowboys. If he's on the starting roster. I don't know.
I'll be shocked. Yeah,
he sounds like the kind of guy like you're like, can we get somebody that we can cut later?
Mm. Yeah,
that's disrespectful to Super Bowl winning Ronald Jones.
Yeah, Super Bowl champion.
What's the deal? How much was the deal?
I think he has two. Does he have two?
Yeah,
multi Super Bowl winning Ronald Jones.
Also, last year did play in many games and had a total of 70 yards on the season.
D'Ernest Johnson signed a 1 year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Get used to
the 1 years, man. These 1 years are just floating around.
That one's interesting because like
Jamichael Hasty had relevance for a bit.
Well, Jamichael Hasty's a different skill set than D'Ernest Johnson, but it was kind of that if you were holding on to the long dynasty hope for like Snoop Connor, is probably not going to go well.
I think this is good news for Travis Etienne.
Sure.
There was a report, I think it was around the Senior Bowl, or something came out where they were talking about how they want to add more running backs to the roster. And so as a Travis Etienne dynasty manager, I started to get a little bit worried. They said, look, you got to keep
these
guys.
Is that why you sent me that crap offer?
Yep. That it is. And that's why I sent half the league offers.
Can we hear it?
It wasn't crap, but it was ETN and
Boston.
It was ETN and 2/3 for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. There it was. I mean, look, I said yes.
Sometimes we just put it out there and then see how the person who made the offers faced.
Yeah.
Malformed. It's not the end of the world.
It's not trash.
I didn't go crap.
If you really needed a running back and somebody really needed a wideout, there is a world where they might counter that.
What I did. Yeah.
It'd be a place that we start.
I did was I need a wide receiver. I've got a loaded running back room. So I just shotgunned. Yeah. I went to the top wide receivers and said, how can I try to turn Travis Etienne into a top wide receiver? But a part of that was because
the multiple thirds, I think, made it worse. You were
if I just offered Etienne, you'd feel better about it.
Can you throw these away for me?
So, anyways, Doug Peterson was talking about how they want to add more running backs to their running back room, and so I was worried. But if you're bringing D'Ernest Johnson, and he also talked up Snoop Connor, ironically, in that same time, and you have Jamichael Hasty, now if these are the four running backs, I'm all about Travis Etienne. That's great.
We talked about Ronald Jones, D'Ernest Johnson, Isaiah McKenzie, 1 year deal with the Colts. You know, Paris Campbell just left, and here's Isaiah McKenzie. Hooray.
Did we say Paris Campbell was on the Giants last show? I don't remember if that got covered.
We did.
Okay.
We mentioned it briefly. We did not cover it.
Okay. Just.
We did not share any analysis.
Letting the people know that it had happened.
The Athletic is reporting there's a good chance the Broncos add a running back in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
I believe that is the same thing we said here when they signed P. Ryan. I said there's a good chance they're adding a running back in the draft because they will need to. You know, unfortunately, Javonte is not going
to
be ready.
It'll be very interesting to see where.
Yeah.
If they add a day two running back,
oh man,
and they signed Samaje Perine, then that's the
death knell for
it's the answer to the questions of how's Javonte's health right now? How's he looking for this season?
I think answer to the questions is a better phrase than death knell.
Yeah.
That's a little extreme.
Death knell seemed like no future.
Yeah.
I hope Javonte comes back to full strength. It just won't be this season.
Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio reporting. Lamar Jackson has told other teams he's ready to move on from the Ravens.
Man.
I believe.
How have we heard nothing about this?
I believe that.
The children are our future. Sorry, go on.
I believe Lamar Jackson will be a Patriot.
Oh, okay.
He's putting it out there.
Okay.
And I think DeAndre Hopkins might be one too.
Interesting.
Okay. So they're going Rams these picks.
I think Bill Belichick, oldest coach in the league, second oldest behind Pete Carroll.
I think Pete Carroll's the oldest. Somehow.
The time is running out here. Third year with Mac Jones, almost benched multiple times for zap. And I know it's going out on a limb. I mean, they have to move picks, and they'd have to move picks for Hopkins. But I think Lamar could be a Patriot. And I think this is the kind of move, like they've had those moves as a franchise throughout the history of the team. Randy Moss's arrival, some of these impact signings. Have you seen the last 8 wide receivers they've drafted in a list?
Yes, they are.
Did you throw up?
I kept it in my mouth.
Yeah.
I had to re-swallow. Oh, okay. I did. N'Keal Harry might be the big winner of the group.
Yeah, compared to the other names. I mean, we don't know about
Thornton.
Thornton yet, but all right, quick break, back with the mailbag.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. Into the mailbag we go. I'm going to hit this drop. You ready, Mike?
Yeah.
Mailbag.
All right, if you have a question for the show, go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click that submit a question button. Dial the voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. We have a voicemail question.
Hey, ballers. This is Jacob from Saskatchewan, Canada. My question is dynasty related. I've got the 102 pick, and I'm wondering how much should you give up to get the 101 and a chance at Bijan Robinson. Thanks.
is a great question. First of all, bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour. Number let's say bonjour. Number two, if you move up to the 101, it's not a chance. Like, you don't have a chance at Bijan. You get to draft him.
Yeah.
Just filling in there.
It's 100% chance.
I would start with my 102 and next year's first. I don't think that's enough to get it done, but that's where I would start the bidding.
I think that's fair too. I think that's a fair value. Obviously, if you're at the 102, it projects that you might, I mean, obviously you could have traded for that pick, but if that's your pick, your team is not that great, so it looks like it could be a good draft pick selection next year. And I think one of the things that could help your argument when you're talking to the manager with the 101 is if that manager has any good running backs already and maybe he's lacking wide receivers, JSN, you know, because what is the 102, right? It's either Jahmyr Gibbs, assuming non-superflex, it's either Jahmyr Gibbs or Jackson Smith and Jigba. If that player's going to Jahmyr Gibbs, now you're talking about just taking a worse running back. It just feels like a loss for them. But if you're talking about, hey, your team needs wide receivers, you could make an argument that the long-term value of JSN is higher. Let me give you an extra first round to take the best wide receiver in the class. Let me have the running back. That'd be the argument I'd be trying to make.
And because there's debate about number two, it's a hard argument. It's a tough one because you don't know where the pick is next year for the 101. You know, you talked about moving Travis Etienne. Like, I'd rather have Etienne than the 102 in the draft.
Yeah, me too.
So it's a tough sell. I mean, you do have to hit the overwhelm them button.
Yeah. Would you get? So what are you? Where's your line?
Yeah, you have the 101 right now.
I have the 102. So let's make a deal.
So
it's gonna be difficult.
So Jeremy comes up and he says, "I'll give you the 102
okay. next year's first.
I'll give you the 202 and next year's first.
Yeah, and you've seen his team next year's first.
That's going to be a 103 or higher. Yeah.
I feel like you're still going to say no to that.
If I got the 201, next year's first, and the 102, I would say no.
You'd say no. That's crazy.
What if you threw DeAndre Swift in there as like a side
oh,
play?
Oh, man. DeAndre Swift's value right now is just – I mean, if he throws DeAndre Swift in addition to everything else, I feel like I would do the thing – where you accept the deal because you feel obligated and then you regret it. So please don't offer that.
All right. It's tough. I think people are too excited. It's like the Saquon year. I mean, that pick was untouchable.
And I think he lost some time to injury, but everything on the field, is that pick was fully justified and worth it.
YouTube question from Gustin Reynolds.
Gustin.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Gustin, but I like it.
Brother of Justin Reynolds.
How do I get good at fantasy?
Well, you've come to the right place. I mean, the truth is getting good at fantasy.
Is this Papa Josh? Are you Gustin?
You know, the more that you're involved, the more that you pay attention, and that's why we try to make this show entertaining. We try to make it fun so that we never want to go away. We just want to sit with our friends and talk fantasy football, know all these players really, really well, and different opinions on them, which obviously the three of us have different opinions on players all the time. If you're doing your draft, we have the resources like the Ultimate Draft Kit, the Ultimate Draft Kit Plus, tools that are proven. You know, we've had some research done on which, at the end of the year, championships, what tools were purchased from all sorts of different outlets, and the Ultimate Draft Kit was number one. So, you know, we don't try to toot our own horn too much, but you want to get good at fantasy following along with the NFL with a good stable of accurate information is just the best way to do it.
I'd say when I was not doing the show, so this is, you know, pre-footballers, my biggest jump in fantasy football was during draft time, getting used to doing my own personal tiered rankings where I would find the sources I like, but then I would group the players together. I would delete guys where I'm like, I don't care really care where this person's being drafted. I disagree that I don't want this person on my team. And it just kind of condenses it, gets your targets out in front of you, and then be willing to take chances, especially on young running backs. Which that's, I mean, the people are getting wiser to those types of things, but back, those were like the two things that really jump-started me into being a good player.
I also will add, I think part of the secret sauce, hopefully, of this show is to help you fill in all of the gaps between the analytics and the statistics and the numbers, which is decision-making, right? You have to make decisions throughout the season based on lots of factors that cannot always be quantified, okay? Players coming back from an injury, players that you have a gut feeling about, you know, these in-between decisions of trades and what players you have a good – like there's a lot of in-between, non-quantifiable, non-stats-based decision-making in fantasy. You get to hear us do it all week long, and that's what we want to help you with. Question here from YouTube. David wants to know, keep Kenneth Walker in the sixth or the extreme value of Brian Robinson in the 15th?
That is an easy-peasy Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker.
I mean, the value might be better as far as total rounds
on
Brian Robinson.
What if I told you Kenneth Walker in the first or the value of Brian Robinson in the 15th?
I would take Brian Robinson in the 15th and draft a good running back
where's
in the first.
Where's the line? What? The second?
To me, it would be the fourth or the third. Like the first three rounds are, there's really valuable running backs there where then you can say, okay, you're adding to it, but no, it's probably the second. You're right. It's probably the second.
Because otherwise you're saying basically that Brian Robinson plus that third round wide out or running back is worth it. Kenneth Walker, which, I mean.
They're not.
They're not.
No. So Kenneth Walker should Kenneth be Walker a top eight running back this
before
year.
Before Bijan arrives or after?
Don't do that. Don't do that. Hey.
You did that. That
trade offer.
I hadn't even thought about it.
Put it in the system. And leave it there.
I don't even know if he has those picks. I was just making.
And then on draft day, at the 21st pick on NFL draft day, I will go ahead and
that out. And I know we've talked about it, but there is, like, I don't know what I want to happen.
Yes, you do. You want the Seattle Seahawks to draft them to watch me melt.
No, I want the Jets to draft them. That,
yeah, but okay, that's not good. Happening. See, the real worst location is the Seattle Seahawks because it's actually
a little bit possible.
Yeah, it was totally realistic. They lost Rashad Penny.
And they have the picks.
Like,
Jason, you're not factoring in also that you're getting Bijan. I have Walker. The show would be done.
Oh, man.
The show would be over.
Yeah. We'd
you
close
too.
Up shop.
I'd be alone. I'd be here with a couple bald guys filling in.
And a cardboard bear.
And a cardboard.
Probably two bears.
Yeah, you'd have to buy another bear.
Two bears and me. And you two are just soup in the front of the studio.
Would ascend and leave this planet.
Yeah, that would be bad. I mean, there was a rumor, Bijan to the Patriots.
That's fine.
And
I
it's
fine.
Not fine because I invested in a Ramondre Dynasty situation, and it's the same boat. I would be very, very I'd start the rebuild.
It's going. Every single league is going to have, wherever Bijan goes, just massive amounts of emotion. And that's what's so fun about
it. Happened with Travis Etienne in the first round when everyone had James Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I had James Robinson in my league, and I was like, let's go. Dynasty. What a find.
Dead.
Poof.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. All right. Instagram question from Logan says, Mighty Ducks, Sandlot, or Space Jam?
Sandlot.
Sandlot's number one.
I have seen the other two so many more times, I can't do that.
Oh.
I think I've seen Sandlot like once. I don't remember anything.
Interesting.
Sandlot is the keep. The trade.
But you haven't seen you didn't watch the others as kids.
That is true. That's why I'm going to trade Space Jam and cut Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks is good. Space Jam is nostalgic, but it's not good.
No, that's right. I have watched it as an adult. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's nostalgic. Yeah, Mighty Ducks is my keep.
That's fine.
All right. Instagram question from Amish Dowell. When is it too early to mock draft?
It is never too early to mock draft.
Yeah.
I will say that there is value to
wins it too early to have fun.
Yeah. Mock drafting is really enjoyable. And one of the things that can happen, this is why, you know, I play in a lot of offseason best ball leagues, because you get to see the before and after the NFL draft changes and what things really are making an impact. And you get a little bit out in front of kind of how this next year's season is going to look when it comes to, is it a running back early class, which this one is not. This is going to be a very, this year will be a lot of wide receivers in the first round. Mock drafting is very valuable.
Instagram question from Hey Cassidy Lloyd. She says, my husband is so obsessed with football. What is some lingo I could learn that would shock him? I've got
interesting.
One.
Interesting.
If you threw RBBC out there a little bit, I think that could get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta go to the nerd stuff. You gotta talk about targets per route run, yards per route.
Maybe
run.
Maybe some zone coverage in there.
I mean, maybe that'd
be a little 4-3 defense.
Oh, I guess this was just obsessed with football in general.
Yeah,
okay,
cover two
okay.
shell.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go with that. Yeah. One.
Those are really popular right now. So you know they're stopping some of these deep throws. So you can bring that up.
You can call edge rushers. Talk about edge rushers. All right. YouTube question coming in. What's Jason's boom boom kicker for week one? Solely one says. Oh,
of course you want to know. Yeah. Wouldn't you like the inside information? Do you know how many times I'm hit up from the betting markets asking me this question? No.
I've seen it.
I keep that in-house. If I were to release that publicly, the sports books would collapse. The servers would go down. So, no, this is, to be released on time.
Instagram question. It's a good one from Saka Johnson. What on earth do I do with Rashad Bateman? And this has not been discussed enough.
Oh, man.
In the realm of Lamar potentially leaving.
I was just talking to Mike yesterday when the report was coming out that, you know, it's allegedly that Lamar's ready to move on. I was like, my Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
My Mark Andrews. I invested in him as the future dynasty tight end to have, and I was so devastated. Whereas Rashad Bateman, I mean, he goes from huge hopefulness. Like, Mark Andrews is a known commodity in the NFL. Another quarterback comes in, he's going to be targeted. He's going to be valuable. He's going to beat linebackers. Bateman has nothing proven yet. And if you bring in another quarterback, and they're going to bring in more wide receivers, Bateman could go up in smoke. He terrifies me.
Yeah.
And his injury, he was Liz Frank. And so we know that the numbers on the Liz Frank injury are, you most of the time you aren't back to full strength the following season, and it takes a whole nother season to get back to what you could have been, and we don't even know what that is. He was a fascinating prospect. Like, with his film was great, his numbers were great. He got drafted in the first round, so everything is there. But you're 2 years in, and you still have no idea if Rashad Bateman is that dude or not.
I only want to go on the Rashad Bateman ride one time. It was not good. It was not fun.
Got a little.
I was not
motion sick.
I was not impressed, and I had to deal with the constant, I'm injured, I'm not injured, I'm injured, I'm not injured. This offseason, he's shared his frustrations with the organization in very plain ways. I mean, just the writing on the wall right now, maybe there's a value there at some point. I'm not going on the ride. Give me another option. I mean, like you said, Andrews, he will have value without Lamar. Yeah. But his upside will be, I mean, it's just like, you know, what if Mahomes got hurt and Henny was the quarterback for the year? You'd be like, Kelsey's good. You're going to start him. Not the potential.
Right. You're going to lose the upside. But Bateman is someone that I think you could still get a lot of value for. There are a lot of Bateman believers who, I mean, they're in every league. So he's a player I would shop and try to move on. And maybe he pops. I mean, you remember the first 2 weeks
happen,
of this last
yes.
year. Was unbelievable. I think he had a 55-yard touchdown and a 75-yard touchdown those first two.
55!
You talk about the Bateman ride that you had last year was bad. Mine was great. I drafted him, had those first two big weeks. He got a little injured. I think I traded him to you, Andy, and then that worked out for both of us really well.
Ah, that's see. Yes, yeah. That makes far more sense for Andy's disdain for Rashad Bateman. You drafted him, and he literally gave you nothing.
Yeah, it was a bad time.
Sure.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was a really bad time.
Yeah, we 2 for 59 in a score, 4 for 108 in a score, and then kind of fell off, got hurt.
There, if it's somehow Huntley, that's going to be the worst time of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the pass attempts. It's going to be bad.
I mean,
it's going to be real, real bad. Huntley threw 2 touchdowns? Is that right?
Pro bowler.
We'll check it out.
But yeah,
I bet you can count
correct.
It on your hands.
Yep.
The thing is, if it's not Lamar, if Lamar is traded, it's not Tyler Huntley. It's whoever they draft.
Maybe. I mean, where are they drafting?
They get a first round pick from whoever if he signs an offer sheet.
Yeah, but I mean, New England.
The
pick's not going to get you nothing.
In Tyler Huntley's 5 starts, so
Pro Bowler.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley's 5 games played as a starter last year, which is a good chunk of the season. His 17-game pace would have been 2,237 yards and 6.8 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
Pro Bowler.
That it could not, just be bad is all I'm
so
saying.
So the Patriots are at – I'm just trying to work through it.
No, for sure.
Let's say it happens
to
Patriots.
It could be a Levis situation, right?
Well, yes, it could be. And you're at 14, and you have an extra first-round pick the following year that, like, if somehow Richardson is dropping and, like, somehow Richardson's there at 9, Chicago's there. Like, you would have ammunition to move up and go get a different guy. Not that you
– Yeah.
Not that Bateman is going to be a fantastic fantasy wide receiver should Richardson be his quarterback, but just trying to work through the thought experiment is fun.
You want Elijah Moore or Rashad Bateman? Too long.
It's Bateman for me.
That's okay.
I think Bateman's a better player. It's just the situation could go – it could go from bad to worse. Good.
All right, our upcoming shows, we've got the biggest free agency off-season winners and losers. Should be a fun one. We'll get that to you next week. Thanks for joining us. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Well, hey, thank you for listening to today's episode. You want more? Check out our fantasy football community at jointhefoot.com.